I slipped back in and felt like I was stepping forward in time, out of a land of dirt and thatch into a land of steel and electricity. I locked the door, then turned toward the machine. A few punches with my plated fist should render the portal inoperable. Unfortunately, I wasn't alone. Quinn knelt by the device. He stood and spun toward me.
Johnny, what did you do to this thing? The coordinates have been altered.
Step through, Quinn. I advanced on him. Get out of here. The whole city's about to be overrun.
That's not a problem. Boss plans to talk to these Vikings. We'll let them have the city, impress them with some future powers, and set up with them instead. They're a tougher group. Good to have on your side as we conquer this world.
Go home to Tacey and the kids. Forget about this dimension. Pretend it never existed. He stretched one shoulder, then the other.
I told the boss you were in the city. He sent me back to check on the machine. I see you let Ryan free. Sent him home, I assume?
Ryan would be gathering cops on the other side, but he wouldn't come rushing back to help. He was too careful for that. And even if he were coming back, I didn't want him to. Not if it would hurt the people here. I'm going to destroy the portal, Quinn. Last chance for you to head home.
Sorry, Johnny.
He put up his fists.
This isn't personal.
You actually believe that?
Nah, every fight is personal. That's just something a fella says, you know?
I nodded. And Quinn came in swinging. Augmented boxing matches are normally about extreme endurance. We hit harder, dodge faster, and can take more punishment than regular boxers. We don't slow, don't get dazed. We don't break like regular people do. We don't need gloves or mouth guards or rules about where you can get hit. The league had two simple rules: no grappling, no unapproved weapons. Bouts ended spectacularly, when one of our systems would break and pain would seep in. A few hits later, full-on system arrest. The result wasn't pretty. Unfortunately, this wouldn't be a normal fight. I was vulnerable, like I'd been for our last bout. Hell, I was far worse off now, if I was honest. I'd let myself go over the years. Guarding a door and constantly being told you're useless will do that to you. Still, it felt natural. Even comfortable, to put my hands up in the traditional guard position. There had been good days in the ring, the best days, even if I'd been pretending then, the way I'd pretended when I first entered this dimension. Quinn came in light and tried three quick jabs, a leftover from the original days of boxing, where a hit like that might do something. These days, it was to pick up the rhythm of the fight. Quick engagements to test your opponent's reflexes. I pushed his jabs aside and danced back, going onto my toes, falling into the familiar forms. How many times had I imagined a rematch? How often had I dreamed of it? Yearned for proof that I should have been the one Ulrich let win, the one who should have become his right-hand man. I'd had multiple chances to demand it, but I'd always turned away. Now this fight had been forced upon me, and for higher stakes than I'd ever imagined. I'd assumed an eventual rematch would be a way to take back my dignity. Turns out, nobody can take that from you. You've got to throw it away. After the initial clash, and a few moments of circling, each trying to feint or fake the other, Quinn came in with a few real swings. I was quick enough to duck under them, but he immediately followed up with a knee to my chest. Without my platings, I was forced to do a pretty awkward block with my arms, plate against plate. I backed away as my system gave me a few warnings. I'd be fine, for now. But a match like this was about endurance. Plating would only prevent damage until your nanites couldn't keep up with the hits. I took a few hits along my arms, which I'd pulled in tight to protect my ribs. The platings along my back should be enough to protect my sides. Something I was forced to test out as I took a few solid strikes there. During the barrage, I also took one jab to the face. His strength augments, like mine, were minimal. One hit to the face wasn't enough to break my skull. But hell, I was not going to last long in this fight. For now, I was forced onto the defensive, dodging, blocking, backing away, using methods that would have gotten me booed in the ring.
You're vulnerable, Johnny. Still no plating on your chest or head?
Never managed to guess the password. I put the portal machine between us.
Don't suppose you'd throw it my way to even up this fight?
Oh, Johnny.
Quinn rounded the machine, his eyes on me.
You think we saved that code?
What?
Boss just hit a bunch of random numbers. Why would he care to remember what he typed? Made him laugh to think of you trying different combinations all these years, though.
As soon as Quinn said it, I knew it was true. Why would Ulrich bother remembering the password? When you cut off a man's hand, you didn't keep it around to be sewn back on. The weight of this final realization almost dropped me right there, because I knew I was never getting my platings back. I'd been hoping for something impossible. Quinn came for me again, and damn, he was fast. I parried the blows until one hit a little too far wide on my side, taking most of the blow in my chest. A rib cracked, and the memories flooded in, taking the fall, being broken, bloodied. Quinn pressed the attack, but I got in my first good blow, a solid kick to his side. Problem was, with all the extra augments, every hit you landed did some damage to you too. It was best to connect with sensitive areas, which the system would have to work harder to protect and repair, but still, every blow weakened you. Quinn advanced, controlling the fight. I tried to stop that with another kick, but he shoved me to the side and I went down. A rain of shots at my face followed, which I blocked, letting him hit me in the chest again. My nanites were going crazy, and I'd certainly taken some real damage from that hit. Fortunately, my instincts kicked in. I rolled to the side and hurled myself to my feet, blocking his kick to my head with my forearm. I stumbled away. Warnings on my visual overlay telling me I was risking damage to my internal organs. I managed to put my hands back up to guard, keeping my distance. I'd always been a close-quarters power boxer. I favored heavy-duty hits to the body in succession over jabs to the face or kicks, though I could do both if needed. But I was slow. I'd always been slow. We paused, glancing over as the reinforced structure shook.
Boss must be back. He has Marshall and Byung-ho. Give up. If they walk in here and see us fighting, they will shoot you.
I attacked. Maybe if I could land a few solid body shots, I could win. I did connect once, but took a blow to the face in return. My readout told me that my nose broke on that one. My weakened nanite system was in a full panic, judging by the error messages. I advanced, striking again, but Quinn dodged, which threw me off. I reoriented, but not before he body-checked me against the wall. That left me without room to maneuver as he backed up one step, then came in swinging, forcing me to block. I wasn't finished yet. My nanites were rerouting my blood vessels and generally keeping me going, but since I'd taken so much damage to sensitive areas, they were overwhelmed. My platings were losing the energy that let them redirect force. The skin of my arm split, and blood seeped through my shirt. I stumbled away from the wall. Damn. So this was how the rematch went. What was I doing here? I couldn't beat Quinn. I'd never been able to beat Quinn. I'd failed before, I'd failed today. Because that was what I did. So much for all those dreams.
Washed up boxer barely gives an effort. One star performance. At least he bleeds well.
I dodged. Ryan could clean up this mess. Could I get through the portal, grab Ryan and reinforcements, then come back? I gave a good showing with my next few feints, but I was really looking for a way to run away. Again. Embarrassed by my art, I'd cut my losses and run. Overwhelmed by my classes in the police academy, and tired of the mockery from the other cadets, I looked for loopholes that let me get kicked out. Then the league. I'd imagined a long run, a title bout, and a successful retirement. I'd ended up with a forced fall and a laughingstock of a life. And it was my fault. When Ulrich had told me to fall, I'd obeyed. Because even then, I'd wanted a way out, worried that I'd start losing anyway. Always looking for an out. That was Johnny. I glanced at the portal machine and thought of Alliston, who'd been ready to race home, knowing he'd die fighting Vikings in an attempt to save his family and people. I thought of Cephalin, standing before the enemy horde, screaming her defiance to a vengeful god. I thought of their lives, full of impossible fights, and I thought my life had been worthless, but maybe my death could be worth something. I gritted my teeth, then spun and dashed to the portal machine. I slammed my fist into the control panel, cracking it in half, mangling the buttons. I got one more hit in before Quinn tackled me. We rolled, and he came up above me. I got my arms over my face as he started pummeling me. He mostly struck my arms, but that didn't matter much at this point. The nanites, now too busy just trying to keep me alive, stopped preventing the pain. Agony washed across my body. Just before I was finished, Quinn paused and glanced toward the door. I blinked, dismissing the current crop of error messages. My arms throbbed. My broken nose was bitingly painful, and every breath was spiked with agony. Through the pain, I managed to make out Ulrich, built like a wall with a face, standing in the doorway. Behind him, Marshall knelt over Alliston's bloodied body. I felt a little stab of pride that Alliston had managed to stand for so long against augmented soldiers. Ulrich closed the door, then frowned, looking at the dimensional portal.
What's this?
Sorry, boss.
Quinn got to his feet, but kept an eye on me.
You gotta swing in on the control panel.
No matter. Another rescue team will come.
Right. He still had the beacon. As long as it was active with Ulrich's code, his teams could get here. But Ryan's couldn't. My fight had been meaningless. I'd failed again.
Something is wrong outside, Quinn. The Vikings have been pushed back, somehow. They're regrouping on the docks, and some insane woman is running around writing runes on the doors.
I thought they didn't write.
So did I.
No. Breaking the machine hadn't been meaningless. None of this was meaningless. For once, it meant everything. I crawled to my feet and put my fists up.
Hey, Quinn. Ready when you are.
Quinn hesitated, then glanced at the holster on Ulrich's hip. The boss folded his arms.
Go ahead.
He'd always enjoyed a good boxing match.
Don't make me do this to you again, Johnny. You let me go earlier. Lie down, take the fall.
Then he lurched at me and swung. I managed to block, so he tried again, a little reckless. I slammed my fist into his stomach, his eyes widening. He danced back, frowning.
You know something, Quinn?
I spat blood to the side.
A friend of mine, she said I didn't really throw that fight because I didn't have a choice. I did, because I agreed. Still, it has me wondering.
Quinn was more careful on his next attack. Our exchange let me get a knee into his chest, but it also let him hit me in the side a few more times. Each one caused a flash of pain that shook my vision. I was at the edge of what my body could take. But the thing was, for the first time, I had no way out.
Makes me wonder.
I shoved him back.
Why did you two take my platings away when I'd agreed to the fall? You said you wanted extra blood to make it extra real. But that risked making it look less real. Too much blood, too much injury.
He came in, and I started pounding on him. One fist, then the other, back and forth into his sides. I took a few blows. Alarms went off.
No running.
I shoved him back against the wall and kept hitting.
No escape.
He broke away, but not before I landed another kick on his side. He was probably seeing some of his own warnings by now. Low system power, low nanite density. Soon, they'd have to start letting the pain through, too.
Come on, Quinn. It's only Johnny.
Only Johnny.
I met Ulrich's eyes.
You wanted me to break, didn't you? When you demanded I take the fall. I was doing well. For once in my life, I was succeeding. So you had to break me.
Ulrich didn't disagree. Quinn forced himself forward again, and we danced, trading jabs and half-blocked kicks. I saw something in Quinn.
Those wide eyes, those jerky movements, those increasingly desperate attacks. Was that fear? I remembered what he'd said earlier.
If the others find out I got caught by you?
As I landed another blow, I saw him flinch. He was feeling the pain now. Ulrich inspected the mangled portal controls. Quinn threw a wild punch. I dodged to the side, then came in and hit him right in the kidneys, the force of my blow going straight through his platings. He danced back. I was on my last legs, though I was trying not to show it. Exhausted, in agony, bleeding from multiple cuts across my arms, I needed an edge. Hey, boxing wasn't the only thing I'd ever been good at. What if...
Ulrich! Quinn told me you hit a bunch of random keys for the passcode for my platings. Something you immediately forgot. Is that true?
Yes. You were washed up, Johnny. I couldn't remember that code if I wanted.
Yeah, but there's a thing about this dimension.
I called up the password entry screen for my platings.
Something about probability and numbers and statistics.
Quinn hesitated. Even Ulrich turned toward me again, curious.
What are the chances that I'll get the same code you put in if I hit a bunch of numbers in here? Think I'll unlock my powers again?
Both were silent. I hit a string of numbers. Password denied, the overlay said. But they couldn't see that. I stood up straighter. I shook my hands, then grinned wickedly as I fell into an aggressive boxing stance.
Look at that.
I was a failed artist, a pitiful excuse for a cop, and a passable boxer. But I was a great liar. Quinn went on the defensive, believing I'd just been renewed.
A little pebble starts an avalanche.
I got my hands around his head, then kneed him right in the face. He stumbled back and started bleeding. The nanites were no longer preventing incidental blood flow.
You lose a little, and that makes you wonder if you deserve to lose.
I swung again and again. I remembered the gang's forced laughter as Ulrich mocked me.
So you lose more.
Quinn hit the wall, and I got him in the stomach, dropping him. I remembered him on that day when I dropped. In that memory of his face, I saw something I'd missed in my own agony. Relief. He'd been worried that he'd lose, even with my augments disabled. Even though I'd agreed to throw the bout, he'd known all those years ago that I was the better boxer.
And it all compounds.
My body knew what to do next. I bashed his face again and again.
You're behind, no matter how you scramble to stop it.
I froze as he whimpered, beaten, broken on the floor.
You're too far gone.
I looked at him, then over at Ulrich, who flipped something on the base of the portal. The blue light activated.
Manual override.
He took out the beacon and hooked it to a bit on the side of the machine. He dusted his hands off before glancing at us.
Ah, Quinn, you're such a disappointment.
That was what he'd always said to me. Hell, how had I never seen? Humiliating me hadn't been about punishing me specifically. It had been about holding on to his power. Ulrich had knocked me down at my prime to remind the others what he could do to us.
Work this. Fix it.
Alistin had died for this. I couldn't let that mean nothing. It all came down to me, following through.
I told you I could beat him.
I grabbed Quinn by the front of his shirt.
I told you I should have been the one to win that bout. He should have taken the fall.
Ulrich studied me for a moment. He wasn't stupid. But he also thought he understood me, thought he knew who I was. He was working from outdated information.
I suppose I should have let you prove it, Johnny.
I dragged Quinn past Ulrich, who stepped back, wisely not trusting me. But he also didn't shoot me.
I think you might have a new door guard.
I pulled Quinn close.
Give my best to Tacy. You did right by me, Quinn. When you get out of prison, do me a favor. Start a new life. You're worth the effort.
He looked at me through blood-stained eyes as I winked at him, then tossed him through the portal. That would deposit him right in the police station. If something was dangerously wrong with his system, they'd save him.
Ulrich really shouldn't have let me get close to the machine. I stamped my boot on the manual override switch. The light went out as I snatched the beacon away. Ulrich shot me. The round hit me right in the chest. Blood began spurting from my cuts as I collapsed to the ground. My nanites scrambling to keep me alive. Ulrich stepped up.
So you lied. No plating on the chest, I see. Presumably not the head, either.
He pointed the weapon square at my forehead. But the beacon was still in my fingers. I forced all available power to the augments in my hand.
Johnny, drop it.
Sorry, Ulrich. I've learned to fear someone else more than I do you.
Who?
The man I used to be.
I squeezed, crushing the beacon. Ulrich looked down at a gaping hole in his chest. The next shot vaporized his head. No nanites were going to keep him alive through that. The headless corpse slumped to the side, and I looked past it to the now open front door, where Alliston leaned against the frame, bloodied from what looked like 100 cuts. He held a gun and a severed arm, the finger still curled around the trigger. Two corpses in riot gear lay in the courtyard behind him. What in the ever-loving hell?
How? How did you beat two fully armed and moderately plated modern soldiers?
They didn't have bows.
Alliston sank down beside the doorframe, giving me a tired grin. I couldn't help but return it.
The following is an excerpt from My Lives, an autobiography by Cecil G. Bagsworth III, the first interdimensional wizard, trademark. Frugal Wizard Trademark Press, 2102, $39.99. Signed editions available to Frugal Fans Trademark Subscription Club members.
The life of a wizard is a strangely lonely one. I don't write this to depress or discourage. Traveling the dimensions has been among the most thrilling experiences of my, exceptional by any definition, life. Ever since scientists identified the perimeter of the universe itself, we have been asking ourselves, what lies beyond? Is there more than this bubble we live in? Yes, there is more. Just as there is no end to human ingenuity, there is no end to reality itself. Wherever we go, there is another horizon. Earth was only the beginning. You can explore, discover, travel to places no person of our substance level has ever traveled. The infinite highway lies before you. But once you have traveled as I have, you may begin to feel a regretful sense of solitude. So many dimensions, full of countless people with no idea that anything exists outside their little villages. People with no concept of the breadth of reality. It feels quaint, seeing them in their little homes, with their little families, thinking that somehow that is the center of the universe. You bear a burden, for you know. Again, I do not speak of this to depress or discourage, but perhaps to warn. Prepare yourself for this feeling. The burden of knowledge shall come upon you, bringing with it this inevitable solitude. You can have no equal, and so you can know no peer. You are a wizard.
A few hours later, I sat on the docks of Mealport, looking out over the ocean, the Hordemen's fleeing ships no longer visible on the horizon. A tired Cephuin leaned against me, holding on to me as much as I held to her. My emergency system had patched me up enough to move, but I had a massive scab on my side. And my face.
You sure facial scars are fashionable here?
If you're not going to wear a beard, then yes. Scars will look nice.
I didn't tell her that my nanites would heal them eventually. Perhaps I could order them not to? There had to be a setting for that. Except, I wasn't going to be here long enough, was I?
I'm sorry about the Eelv ring.
She was referring to the portal. Apparently, rings of mushrooms or rocks in the forest were said to lead to the world of the Eelves. She thought that was what the portal had been. And why not? It had been close enough. I'd have to find another way out. The damage I'd done to both the portal and the beacon was extensive. Maybe someone smarter could have repaired them, but not me. But first, I wanted to hold Cephalin a little longer. She was so warm. I hadn't realized my nanites prevented me from feeling warmth from others. In regulating my system, the stupid thing stole something basic about human connection.
What you did back there was amazing. All of Weswara will be protected now. Because of you.
Until Woden strikes me down.
If he hasn't yet, he won't.
She didn't seem convinced, but a grin fought through her fatigue. She kissed me, and her breath on my face, her lips on mine. That felt warm too.
I want to learn all of the writing you know. The words of your world. The words of all lands, all people.
I smiled, though it broke my heart to know what came next.
You are the most wonderful thing that has ever happened to me. Thank you for being amazing.
Well, you have misled me. You're not the lowest of Eelves, are you, Runian?
No. No, I'm not.
And I believed it.
In fact, I'm pretty incredible. Good with women, you know. It's always been one of my talents.
Her smile widened.
Oh, look. Normal clouds. How nice.
I took her by the chin, gently tipping her head back down to meet my eyes. Then I kissed her again.
Not that I mind. In fact, I enjoy watching. But you two really should be more respectful in my presence. It's traditional.
We spun to find Thok, Logna, standing on the dock, still in the form of a short old woman with a bundle of sticks on her back. We scrambled to our feet.
Goddess, how is Alliston?
Still breathing. He will likely continue that way for a while. I haven't broken it to him yet that Ulric killed the Earl. He'll take it hard.
We'll need a new Earl then.
Fortunately, you have a good candidate.
Cephalin hesitated and glanced at me. I slowly grinned.
I meant Alliston, you ears.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, much better choice.
You're both Egypts. But I suppose you're my Egypts.
Pardon, goddess, but we are our own idiots.
Go check on Alliston, child, and get some food. I need to talk to the Eve.
Cephalin looked at me. Go, with my love. She grinned, kissed me, then walked up the steps to the city. A powerful glow shimmered in the center of town. The new runestone, inscribed with liquid-looking letters Cephalin had carved. I watched her until she vanished into the city. The docks had been mostly cleaned of blood. It was peaceful here, with the sun setting out in the west, the water shivering softly over the sea.
I know why Woden discarded this people.
Oh, so you've gotten smart all of a sudden.
He wanted to use this city, this people, as an example. He's been doing it for years, beating them down so others who worship him could be afraid of what he might do to them.
Woden was basically Ulric with a priesthood.
Guess you are a little smart. I'm not going to do your bidding anymore, by the way. That was a temporary thing so I could hide myself from prying eyes. Your aura has an interesting effect on my kind.
That's fine. I won't be here to hurt you much longer anyway.
I looked back over the ocean. With my nanites at dangerously low levels, they wouldn't be able to activate the anti-suicide protocols or keep me alive once the water filled my lungs. Not being able to swim was a bonus this time, but I couldn't wait until the system came back. Time to follow through.
Thunders! What idiocy are you contemplating, Runian?
My kind ruins the protections on this land. My existence unravels Cephalin's magic. If I stay, this land dies, and with it, everyone I love. So, thank you for helping me find myself. It was nice to know him for a few days.
I stepped off the dock. then sat up a moment later.
It's only about 2 feet deep here. Dullard, you realize that's why the wooden pier extends so far out, right? You'd need to walk out much farther to get to the deep part.
Right then. I stood up. I turned toward the ocean to start walking.
That's very brave of you. So brave. Stupidly, amazingly, ridiculously brave.
I turned and glared at her.
Can't you let me do this with dignity?
You tried to drown yourself in knee-deep water. The chance for dignity has passed.
Why had I ended up in the dimension with the annoying gods?
You're right, though. Your poison, your substance, will work against the power of the boasts. It will ferment and undo the runes in any place you remain for longer than about a month.
A month?
Yep. That's how long Ulrik stayed here, which is what prevented me from doing anything about him. Stay in one place too long and sure, you'll poison the land. Keep moving, and it won't really matter. You're only one man. But off with you, noble death, very warrior-like. Too bad Sephawin won't have your protection anymore.
Wait, my protection?
Sure. You think I can stand up to Warden by myself? Kid, if I could do that, I'd have stepped in ages ago. It was only when you people arrived and disrupted his power that I saw an opening. If you keep her close, you should be able to keep him from touching her. My brother hates being reminded that, despite being a god, he'll someday die. Pain drives him away, and the pain your presence causes is just enough. If you were to, say, keep moving, traveling from town to town, you could protect Sephawin with your presence and prevent your poison from killing any whites or disrupting the runes. But then there'd be no noble warrior's death for you. So, off with you. When my scops tell the story, we'll leave out the part where you belly-flopped into a puddle.
I glared at her, then felt an almost electric warmth. I could stay? I could stay! She offered her hand, and had a surprisingly firm grip as she hauled me out of the water. Guess that was part of the whole god thing. Thank you.
I'm just in it for the stories. You have no idea how boring eternity gets, particularly when your remaining kin are itchits. Have you heard about the thing with the tree?
Yeah.
Then you know the kind of geniuses I'm dealing with. Go, Runian. Get some food, have a feast, and stop being so glum. Kiss the girl. You did something great here. With help, you deserve to enjoy being a person you like. For longer than a few days, at least.
What are they fixing for dinner, anyway?
Fish.
I think I'll seize a few, huh? She actually grinned at that, as if it were actually funny. Well, hot damn. I turned back toward the city, and my mind, being the ridiculous piece of work it was, searched for a rating I could give this entire experience. I settled on no rating. The whole point of those had been to figure out what I wanted in life. Now that I had it, well, maybe I would need to rethink the system entirely.
5 out of 5. You served me well, rating system. Enjoy your retirement.
Yahoo!
I ran to meet up with Sephawin and Elliston. Turns out, even a coward can save the world, so long as you leave him with no other options. A few months later, Logna watched, unseen, as the Skop and her Outlander husband spun the tale of the defense of Mealport to the people of Treewall. Sephawin spoke the words, and Runian acted it out through something he called a puppet show. Logna approved. Not only were there ample amounts of silly voices, Woden's puppet was cross-eyed. At first, many of the people in this town were uncertain, hostile. Yet over the course of the story, they began to lean forward. They began to understand. They began to believe. Cefuin was not as good of a storyteller as Logna, mind you, but one did not earn a recitation from a goddess without great merit. Technically, saving the world counted, but they hadn't asked, so that was that. Either way, she was pleased to have an acolyte with some modicum of skill. Logna had spent decades hunting for a skop with the spine to stand up to Woden. To have one finally do it, and to have the woman actually know how to spin a boast, well, it would do. Her kin would regret abandoning these people. Woden could keep his hordemen. He always had been too easily infatuated with shiny new toys. But it was the builders, not just the takers, who changed the world. Logna knew that for certain now. Runian made the Woden puppet hide in tandem with Cefuin's words. He used his strange abilities to create sound effects, so Logna didn't need to add any thunder or anything. That was nice. Thunder wasn't really her thing. She did flare the fire when her part in the story came up again.
He was a particularly good choice.
Not that she'd chosen him, really. She'd sent numbers to him when he'd come looking. A beacon, one might say. Weird affected even gods. She hadn't known who he was, or what it would do, or even that her interference would make him enter the world where he did. She'd only known that these were actions she'd needed to take. That was enough. She did know the codes for his platings. He'd mess that part up. He should have asked for a white to choose the right symbols rather than typing them himself. Perhaps she'd deliver them to him someday, if he was nice. As the story neared its end, the people grew excited, encouraged. Yes, this was the part that got them all. The story of the brave new Earl, the Eelv Slayer. Logna hadn't mentioned how she'd briefly disrupted the little machines in the blood of the Outlanders he'd fought at the doorway. It hadn't been easy. She'd been sick for weeks after that. But Alistin had earned his victory nonetheless. He'd been properly outnumbered and outweaponed. She'd simply slipped a little grain onto the scales to help them balance. She could see the people discarding their worries. They would let Cefuin restore their runestone, then perhaps send a daughter or two, or some sons, Logna wasn't as picky as people thought, to Mealport for training as skops. Soon, talk of Woden would change, from their hero to the god of their enemies. Which was fair, he had always been their enemy. Logna slipped into the private chamber the people had given Runian and Cefuin to use during their stay in the village. Here, the two had set up bedrolls and a few curious items. Wires trailed down from the solar panels on the roof to the laptop they'd recovered from the equipment Ryan left in the woods. On the device, Runian was writing his memoirs. She checked on his progress each day to make certain he was representing her part well. He hadn't been able to open any of the encrypted files Ryan had left, as he didn't know the passwords. Logna did, of course. She could steal any word. It was one of her things. One of those files was a full textual encyclopedia Ryan had downloaded before going on his mission. No big deal. It was only the sum total of human knowledge in his realm. She formed herself a body, a slender young man this time, and settled back with the laptop. She could vaguely remember a time before, coming to this land from deep, deep, deep beyond, from the depths of distant places, other beyonds, other times, other realities, swimming upstream as far as they could go to this place. But then, a wall of pain, they could go no farther, at least, so far as any of them knew. She opened the locked files, wincing as the touch of the machine burned her fingertips. She pressed on, however, and picked up reading where she'd stopped the night before. In a section titled, Dimensional Portals, Mechanical Schematics, and Repairs. The Frugal Wizard's Handbook for Surviving Medieval England by Brandon Sanderson is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2023 by Brandon Sanderson. All rights reserved. Recorded by arrangement with Dragonsteel, LLC. Production copyright 2024 by Graphic Audio, LLC. All rights reserved. Narrated by Danny Gavigan and Crystal Lee. Featuring Danny Gavigan as John, Helen Day as Cefuin, Nathaniel Priestley as Alliston, Holly Adams as Thok, David Kwee-Kwee as Ryan, Elias Khalil as Yazad, and Zeke Alton as Quinn. With additional performances by Andrew James Spooner, Bradley Foster Smith, Colleen Delaney, Daniel Yaka, David Engel, Elena Anderson, John Keelty, Mike Carnes, Morgan Dallabetta, Nora Ashradi, Scott McCormick, Stuart Crank, and Yasmin Twazon. Directed and adapted for Graphic Audio by Nathaniel Perry. Produced by Colleen Delaney, Scott McCormick, David Zitney, Casey Green, and Aaron Coe. Executive Producer, Angie Cornett, Dwayne Beeman, and Matt Webb. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Nathaniel Perry. If you enjoyed The Frugal Wizard's Handbook for Surviving Medieval England, you might also enjoy Battle Mage Farmer by Seth Ring. All these titles and many more are now available at www.graphicaudio.net. Keep listening to hear a preview from Battle Mage Farmer 1, Domestication.
John, can you let a few gnolls in without letting the others in? We just need a few at a time.
You want me to switch to Gatekeeper?
Yes.
Sure. Three gnolls coming up.
His sword blurring, John hooked one of the attacking gnolls and pulled him into the doorway. John spun past as the beast stumbled into the middle of the room, then snapped out a heel kick, stunning the gnoll that had rushed into the gap. Flipping his dagger around, John planted it in the gnoll's shoulder and heaved, sending the beast tumbling into his companion's legs. The last gnoll was a bit tougher, but after a confusing three-second dance, another gnoll rolled into the middle of the room to join the first two gnolls. Sandra, Rosalie, Haver, and Grimes jumped them, and soon they were dead, filling the air with a metallic tan.
Perfect! Keep it up!
By the time John had pulled in the fifth group through the doorway, the gnolls were almost completely dead, and the 10 remaining gnolls backed up, trying to get out of his reach. With a moment to breathe, the team did their best to adjust their conditions. Cleaning off his dagger, John watched the gnolls who were out on the road, his brow furrowed. Grimes gripped his short sword tightly and stepped up next to John.
Something wrong?
Huh? No, not really. I was just thinking about the last time I fought gnolls. We didn't have a nice choke point like this. We were on a wall and they just climbed up it like it was flat.
Yeah, they're skilled climbers. The roof!
Jumping back, Grimes threw his short sword with as much force as he could as a gnoll thrust his head through a hole in the roof. It vanished, but four more took its place, jumping through the roof and scrambling along the walls.
So much for our choke point.
To her credit, Catherine kept her cool and quickly assessed the situation.
Reese, Haver, take the lead and charge outside!
John quickly moved to her side, his sword intercepting a rock that one of the gnolls hurled at her. Reese, brandishing his large sword, joined Haver, and the two of them rushed out, attacking the six gnolls outside of the building. With Haver's wolves and the two rogues joining in, the six gnolls quickly fell, and the team regrouped in the middle of the wide avenue.
Do we fight it out or head for your tunnel? Because that looks like a lot more than 25 gnolls.
Watching the number of gnolls up on the roof of the nearby buildings continuing to increase, Catherine nodded, her face pale.
We head for the tunnel. Grimes, you know the way best.
Got it.
With Grimes at the front and John bringing up the rear, the team began to sprint, running all out as they headed for the other end of the ruins.
Thanks for listening to this Graphic Audio production. Graphic Audio has over 1,700 titles to choose from. Listen to over 225 binge-worthy series. We feature titles in genres like science fiction, fantasy, romantasy, westerns, mystery thrillers, comics, and more. Check out our exclusive series such as Deathlands, Rogue Angel, Outlanders, Tangent Knights, and Agent of Exiles, which are only available in our dramatized adaptation format. Experience a radically different type of audiobook produced with a full cast, sound effects, and cinematic music. Listen to a movie in your mind, on the go, anytime, anywhere. Our dramatized adaptation titles are available at all major audiobook retailers and platforms. Sign up for our email newsletter for the latest updates and new releases. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and other social platforms. For more information and samples of all our titles, visit our website at graphicaudio.net.